tell me about establishing the Human Relations Department at the LAPD. How'd you come to do that?
Actually, even from my article in the Times, that it was supposed to have been started in 1961, and that was the word that was propagated. And at that time, there may have been about a total of 50 black cops on the department of about 5,000 policemen. And I think all of the 4,550 officers were asked, would you mind working with the black officer? The 50 black officers were not asked, would you mind working with the white officer? In any event, the sheer numbers would say this should not be a problem. But it really didn't come to fore. It was, I guess you'd have to say, more propaganda. And the fact that I had made the statement in the Times that it was taking place, and because the chief had commanded such, and then I find out that it hadn't. Well, there were other people in the department that were equally concerned, and one of those people was an inspector at the time, and he had picked me, and there were four other officers to come on temporary duty to the chief's office to write and compose the first public or human relations program. And we were using the experiences from other departments. I spoke quite a bit with the Denver PD in that effort, but it was an effort that was not totally endorsed by the department. We were almost like fish out of the water. It wasn't like a glorious assignment. You didn't get a lot of slaps on the back because you were doing it. When we finally did get a draft put together, and there was a big meeting with all of the higher-ranked officers, the captains and above and so forth, and we were up at the Idlewild, and it was raining cats and dogs that night. Invited to participate were a lot of the eggheads, or sociologists and psychologists and from USC and UCLA and elsewhere, to really start discussing and putting this program to work. That happened, but the program did not commence. So it was another effort that didn't produce. And then later, after I left the that took care of that as far as being on the involved in the initial effort to get a good human relations program going. We had an attitude that we were really kind of above and beyond. We were just kind of a holy grail, if you didn't agree with that, you could rationalize and say, look, there's only 5,000 of us, and we got to patrol, roughly 7 million people. Hell, we need a whole lot of them on our side, so... that kind of logic didn't fly too well.
It's interesting to think that even to the point that you left, they hadn't implemented the program.
Yes, that's right. No, it was some time after that. And then even when they finally did start, it was very incremental, and that's understandable. And at the time when I was working for an ad agency in L.A., and still having a lot of good friends and colleagues on the department, and I was discussing with them just random about applying marketing principles, business marketing principles to the department to help do that. And so that was set up, and that was really a contribution paid for by businesses in the city. And so the agency that did it, it was a full marketing approach, but it was paid for. The city didn't have to pay for it. The department didn't have to pay for it. And as I later understood that, we did it, and we promoted it, and it was publicized. And as I later understood that after all the cameras had stopped rolling and all the journalists had gone and everybody had returned to their respective places, it was thrown in the trash. So it was a big, hard learning curve. That I'll put it like that. You know, you like rowing a boat upriver, upstream. So
let's apply that learning curve to what you say. And after a while, you wonder. You start with your main character, CQ Sains, or Q. What's he like at the beginning of the book?
What's he like at the beginning of the book?
Yes, what I'm really asking is what kind of a learning experience does he have?
Well, he has, number one, he is an ex-cop, and he has no association, no relationship with any. And he doesn't pursue or doesn't look. He no longer lives in the city. But when he happens to return to L.A. and one of his old buddies happens to see him and say, let's get together. And so Q agrees to do that, just as, you know, let's do this and get it over with. But in that meeting, they can't help but discuss the way it was, the way it used to be, and how things have or have not changed. But then consider all the things that they've been through, and recognizing and dealing with each of those officers that just as when Q had started on the department, not really wanting to be a policeman, but and don't forget, a policeman's salary at that time starting was $350 a month, plus he had to buy his own uniform and guns, all right? So it's not like a giant step. So most of these guys, and it would be true for most policemen to start out, were really poor, you know, and their home style, their living style was, you know, houses that were virtually empty, and they weren't full of furniture. And without a doubt, most of them, their wives were working. And so in going through that process, recalling all that, and then to at what time was there a break? And that break came, and like after so much turmoil in the city, so much violence in the city, that it became necessary for policemen to work more, work longer, and got raises. And then when school integration and all of that started, then the demand for policemen was even more. And so this is really how cops became capitalized, right? So there has to be an old cliche somewhere about out of necessity or out of crisis. So, you know, today when I look at and I think about what an officer makes today in crime and net lazy, you know, we didn't make money like that, you know. But they deserve it. They really do. They deserve it. They earn it. And one of the really good things about it, and again, in the book, try to show this transition was not radical. It was very gradual, that the requirements or demand for more educated guys and more disciplined guys and better backgrounds and so forth, and all that came into play. And I guess if there is a central plot in the book, is that what caused all that? What made a society recognize that we had this need? It was the violence. It was the riots. And so the question, of course, is, unfortunately, that's probably more common, a way change comes about, than it ought to be.